All right, so just as we begin, I'm going to ask a question, but I don't want anyone to raise their hands. In fact, all the guys, do me a favor, like real quick, just kind of put your hands like this and put them right under your butt. Just put them there because, listen, I don't want anyone to accidentally, you know, raise their hand and, like, get all excited about it. So because the reality is, how many guys in this room, and again, just kind of, you know, sit or cross or whatever, put your hands in your pockets, because I think I know the answer. How many guys in this room actually feel like a hero? Like literally. I totally feel like, I think I would honestly have to say just about every guy, if not every guy in this room, and quite frankly, every guy I've ever talked to, when this kind of idea comes up, we get really skittish around that. We're not a fan of that. In fact, if we're being honest, if I gave guys the option, do you feel more like the hero or the heel? Most guys are going to say, well, on a regular basis, I kind of feel like the heel. I kind of feel like the guy that's letting everybody down. We know our own flaws. We know our own shortcomings. We know when we've lost our temper. And we know when we've done the right thing, but in our hearts, that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to do something different. We wanted to say something different. We wanted to go in a different way. And so that makes us feel guilty because even though we did the right thing in our hearts, we didn't want to do it. We just did the right thing because that's what had to be done. And the truth is, when we really think about it and we're really honest about it, and ladies, if you don't know this, I'm just going to tell you because I know it's true for you too, but as guys, we are harder on ourselves than anybody could possibly be on us. We're just harder on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We often do not encourage ourselves or lift ourselves up, or the talk that we have in our brain is not positive. Doesn't matter how, you know, and the thing is, if I'm sitting with a guy and I say something like this, you know what you need to do? You need to have a better positive mental attitude. They're going to get up and give me a cup of tea, and here you go, Daisy. Like, literally, that's how guys think. Like, that's not our mindset. We don't think that way. And so when we start talking about this idea of being a hero, it's like, ugh, because it's kind of almost icky and gross to think of yourself that way. So we're in week 4 of our series, The Uncivilized Life. And again, I just kind of give the disclaimer, you know, obviously November is kind of Movember, you know, man month, whatever it's kind of come into. And so this series is really directed specifically to guys. But I want to tell you, ladies, this is a great series. If you are not married, this is a great series to serve as a filter for potential dating relationships, right? Just pull it out and go, okay, are you this, are you this, are you this, are you that? You're not? Okay, see you later, sucker. Because that's what you want to look for in a guy. I'm just telling you. And if you are married, then this is something that you can encourage and you can kind of help build in your husband these things. But all the things that we've shared are true regardless of whether you're a guy or if you're a girl. And today it's the same thing. The things we're going to share are going to be true of you as well. And you can take it and you can apply it to your life. So these are the disciplines or the practices or the commitments, the roles that we've talked about. Week 1, we talked about the prophet, the one who speaks with God and for God to other people. The stoic, one who is in control of their emotions, not controlled by their emotions. The sage, one who is wise and gives good counsel. The hero, today we're going to be talking about one who fights for those who he loves and who fights for the truth. And the altruist next week, probably the most little known one, the altruist is the one who puts others' needs ahead of his own, even at his own peril. And these are 5 things that we've talked about that if you're a guy, these are 5 things that God wants you to do on a regular basis. A lot of times they talk about archetypes, that you're one of these. And no, you're not one of these. God calls you to be all 5 of these, dependent upon the situation. So the things, their habits, their skills that you need to develop, and that's throughout the series what we've kind of talked about, how to develop these skills. So today's discipline, the hero, one who fights for those he loves and for the truth. Now, as guys, as I've already said, we're uncomfortable with this term hero. In fact, can I be honest with you? If you're not uncomfortable with the term hero, you're not a hero, okay? Because every guy I've known that I would call a hero, if you would have said that to him, like, oh, please, give me a break. In fact, I have known in my life dozens, if not scores, but scores isn't a word that anyone uses anymore since like 1742, but scores, which means 20-plus people, right, in my life that I've known that were either in the military, retired military, or law enforcement, or higher ends of law enforcement. I've known dozens of them. In fact, a guy that I would call a friend was actually stationed and went through and was in Mogadishu. If you're not familiar with Mogadishu, he was actually in, there was a character that played him in the movie Black Hawk Down. And I tried to have conversations with him about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. In fact, if I say, well, man, you were part of that group that did that, he's like, yeah, we were. And I was like, well, what happened? He said, I don't want to talk about it. I just did my job. I'm like, dude, no. What you did was amazing. That's crazy that you did. No. I just did my job. Another friend of mine that was a part of a covert military group. Literally, I probably know too much. But anyways, the covert military group. And what they did when he was younger is that they were the ones that would go behind enemy lines to recover downed pilots or POWs. Like, literally, that was their job. And there was a team of six of them, and they would go in, and they would get these guys back. And he did it all throughout Vietnam, and he would do this. And then later on in his career, he actually would regularly give updates and advice to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Like, this is a guy that, like, holy cow. And you would go, wow, that's amazing. And the stories that he could tell me, at least a little bit, were just astounding. The things that they would have to go through to not just get to these guys, but then get them back home alive. And he would say, I'm no hero. I just did what needed to be done. I just did what needed to be done. And then my buddy that many of you have met, who just retired from 20-plus years in the Michigan State Police, and literally there are hundreds of lives that he saved throughout his career. Children that were in sex trafficking and abuse situations and criminals. We're talking hundreds of people whose lives he changed, and he helped be able to do that. And he would literally, in fact, people would call him heroes, or they'd be like, oh, thank you for your service. He's like, there's nothing in the world that makes me more uncomfortable when people say that to me. It makes me feel just uncomfortable because it needed to be done. Somebody had to do it, so it might as well have been me. And guys, I think every one of you, as I talk through those things, you're like, yeah, I see where he's coming from. Because we're so uncomfortable with that. So I think it's important when we begin this to really understand what a hero is. And so what I did is I went on the interweb, and I went past Wikipedia, and I really got into the definition of a hero. And so what I did today, because they're all over the place, like all over the place, but I cobbled together from about 12 different definitions of what a hero is, because there were certain parts or concepts that were within every single definition. So I want to lay it out for you before we dive into Scripture. So here's a hero. Often from divine descent, right? They often come from a god, right? We think about that. We have Thor, right? He's the god of thunder. We've got Hercules. He's the son of Zeus. We've got Dionysus and Achilles and all these different guys that, you know, part, whether it was their mother or their father, they were divine descent. And so oftentimes when we think about hero in mythology or even in comics and that type of thing, so many of them are from some type of divine lineage. So then we also have that they were endowed with special courage and ability. Like, they were given special or unique courage or abilities. You know, they could fly, they could strong, they were impenetrable. All these different abilities that they were given. They had this courage that would go beyond the courage of anyone else around them. And they would stand strong in the middle of all the things of everyone else falling apart. They would stand strong. They had this courage that was beyond anyone else's ability to truly understand. They were filled with noble character. Really, when you see a hero arc, right, and you read the stories and the novels and the mythology, in the hero's arc, there's always a point where the hero is tempted. And he's tempted with something that would really strip him from being a hero, and yet he has the noble character that even though he can do it, he chooses not to. And then finally, they accomplish great things. like things that nobody else can do, things that are, at least on the outset, they look impossible. And this is a hero. And so as guys, and I don't want to speak for all of us, but I will say, I think I'm a fairly normal, average guy. I look at that and I go, no. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? When you think about that, there are images in your mind. And what's funny is you probably have another real-life guy who you go, yeah, they kind of fit that. But as we look at ourselves in the mirror, we never think that. We never do. So here's what I want to do. I want you guys to hold on to your seats for a minute, because I'm going to share with you the big idea today. And then I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture. You ready? You are the hero your family needs. You are the hero your family needs. I want to say this really clearly, because this is very, very specifically worded. You are the hero your family needs. You're not the hero for every family. You're not even the hero for maybe somebody else's family or somebody else's help. You're not the hero at work. You don't have to be the hero over here with your buddies. You are the hero that your family needs. And you go, how can you say that with such certainty? I can say that with such certainty because I know that God is sovereign. And I know that nothing happens in this world without either God's approval or God's action. And so if you are the husband or the father or the husband and the father of a family, and God has called you to be in that position, then you are, in fact, the hero your family needs. Now, you may not be a hero right now. You may not be acting like a hero right now. You may be acting more like a zero than a hero, right? But the truth is that you are, in fact, the exact hero that your family needs most desperately. And if you don't do it, if you don't step into that, then the hero role goes unfulfilled and unfilled. You are called by God to step into some really big shoes. And not because you stand up in the morning with your cup of coffee and look at yourself in the mirror and take a sip and go, yeah, I'm a hero. No, you do it because somebody's got to do it. You do it because it's got to be done. You do it because it might as well be you, because that's where you are, and today's the day to make it happen. So let me prove it to you. You are the hero your family needs because you, my friend, have divine lineage. You have divine lineage. You actually have divinity within you. Now, here's what I mean by that. First of all, here's what I don't mean. You are not a god. I don't care how many muscles you get or how smart you are not a god. You have no part of God in you. But if you know Jesus Christ, you are filled with the Spirit of God. And not only that, I want you to see this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. This verse in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible says that God made you with his own hands. And that as God made you with his own hands, he made you in his image, in his likeness. It also says that he made you with his characteristics. That's what the word likeness means. In other words, there are things in you that come from God, part of his character, part of his kindness, part of his generosity, part of his love for other people. You are literally filled with characteristics from God. Now, you may not be acting on them, but you have divine lineage. You were made by God to reflect God and like God's character. And then here's another cool part of that. If you go forward in your life and you accept Jesus Christ, something else happens. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his what? Children. If you know Jesus Christ, you are his son. So not only were you made to be like God, not only were you made to have his image, not only were you made with his characteristics, but when you accept his son, Jesus Christ, you literally become the direct line, and you become a child or a son of God. You have divine lineage within you. Now, does that mean that you can walk out and go, Red Sea part? Does that mean you can go, red light turn green? Does that mean you can go, okay, old lady who's driving way too slow, get off the side of the road? No. It just simply means that you have unique divine things that God has placed in you so that you can actually play the role of the hero. Number two, not only do you have divine lineage, but you have special abilities. You have special abilities. Do you know that? Each and every one of you is made unique and different. In fact, I'll go a step further. You are made unique and different, and your uniqueness and your your uniqueness and your unique abilities actually perfectly fit with the family that you're with. Do you know, some dads, I know you're going to find this very, very strange, some dads are weird. Do you know that? I know, it's crazy, it's wild. Some dads are weird. Some dads are musical. Other dads are not musical and shouldn't try to be musical. Some dads are soft. Some dads are a little bit harder. Some dads are more artistic. Some husbands are more understanding, and they are more empathetic. Some are more, you know, stoic, and they've got a little bit more of the ability to kind of control things. So we are perfectly and divinely made to be able to fit with the family that God has us with. And you're like, well, my family doesn't feel like it's fitting together right now. Well, that's probably because you're not stepping into the role that you're supposed to be able to bring it all together, because you have special abilities. You go, how do you know that? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He talks specifically to Timothy, but then he says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us what? Power and love. And self-discipline. Now, we find from other of Paul's writings that we are all given unique and special abilities to be able to help with the body of Christ. But even in this, if this is all that God gives us in unique and special abilities, power, love, and self-discipline, those are pretty awesome gifts. Would you agree? You, as a man, have been given by God. We've all been given this, but I'm specifically talking to men. You, as a man, have not only divine lineage, but you have special and unique abilities that God has given you to carry out the function of hero that God's called you to. So you have divine lineage. You have special abilities. Number three, you've got noble character. You're like, well, don't ask anyone around me. You've got noble character. Now, this is really important to understand. Again, not going to ask you to raise your hands. I think we would have 100% agreement in this room that as guys, we have made stupid, poor choices in our life. That we have done things that were not the wise things to do. That we maybe have even dated some people that we shouldn't have dated. We took jobs that we shouldn't have taken. And we knew at that time we shouldn't have done it, but boy, it felt like the right thing to do. And that is the essence of character. Character is who you are when no one else is watching. That's your character. And if you have noble character, that means it doesn't matter if anyone else is watching or not. So how do you tap into this noble character? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You know what? You know what I love when I read, and I love hero stories. Anyone else love hero stories? Like, literally, I love hero stories. I love the Marvel's movies. I think they're great. But I love reading real historical hero stories. When I read and I watched The Band of Brothers and Pacific and some of the other things, and I read some of these stories of real-life guys that did amazing things, you're like, oh, my word. He lost a leg and an arm, and he still carried his buddy to safety, and then he fell off the stretcher and gave it. I mean, just unbelievable what these guys can do. And I love that. But you know what I love about a good hero story? It's the redemption arc. You know what I mean? Like they blow it, or they fell short, and they think it's all over, and then somehow they get another opportunity to stand up and do the right thing. I love that Paul writes that the Spirit is renewing your attitudes. Because I think as guys, we can all say, we've probably had bad attitudes. We probably had the wrong mindset. We've probably done the wrong things. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is on a daily, regular basis, renewing, giving you another opportunity, another chance to redeem yourself, another chance to step into the role that God has given you. Because God is constantly renewing your thoughts and your attitude. And then he gives us a command, put on your new nature. Now, guys, I have t-shirts. In fact, I do want a response on this one because I'm really curious. I have t-shirts that I wore when I was a freshman in college, and I still wear them. Anyone have a t-shirt like that? Anyone? Nobody? Just a couple gals, a guy? Okay. Well, yeah, but you're like still in high school. Okay, so. Like literally, I'm not kidding. I have t-shirts in my drawer. I probably have a dozen t-shirts in my drawer that are older than both of my girls. You're comfortable in these things, right? And there have been clothing that I wear, especially as my girls got older, and I would come downstairs and they would look at me and go, no. Don't wear that. Why? What's wrong with it, Dad? Just don't. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't keep wearing that stuff. The past, the things, the mistakes that you made, the things that you did in the past, don't keep wearing that like a cheap suit. Leisure suits will never come back in style, I promise you. At least I hope. Please, Lord, no. Get rid of it. Put on the new nature that God has given you, that God has provided you. Step into that because that is a divine nature, not empowered by your hard work, but empowered by the Spirit that fills you and changes you. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, you can't force those things. They come from the flowing of the Spirit of God working you. So put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You have the ability to step into the noble character that God has for you. You have divine lineage. You have special abilities. You've got noble character. And guys, you can do great things. So, one of the things that over 30 years, almost 30 years, and having conversations with men, one of the things that is so debilitating and limiting to men is this. And I promise you, I'm not picking at a scab, but sometimes we need to drag things into the light, okay? One of the things that is most limiting to men is things that were done or things that were said by their father. Because that's who God put in our life, who was supposed to show us what it was like to be a real man. And when that father does things or says things that are debilitating or ugly or hurtful, we take it as gospel truth that we will never amount to anything. We are a mess up. We can't accomplish or finish anything. We're going to be just like Dad, and he took off, and he didn't do the things that he was supposed to do. And guys, I want to tell you, and I'm being real honest with you here, I had a great dad. I did. And so I don't understand that pain, but I have sat with enough guys that know that pain. And I know how hard that is. And so I want to tell you right now, as a dude to other dudes, your father was a flawed human being. I don't care if he was a great dad. He was a flawed human being. And just because he said things or did things, that does not put a limit on your ability to do great things, because your heavenly Father, who trumps your earthly father, says you can do great things. And there's no one that can trump your heavenly Father. And listen to what he says. With God's help, we will do what? Okay, I heard a lot of women there. Dudes, with God's help, we can do what? Mighty things. For he will trample down our foes. Philippians chapter 4, 13, if you've ever watched a basketball game or a football game or ever heard Tim Tebow talk, you know what this verse is. What's funny is that verse is often taken out of context, but the context is so powerful, I don't know why we would take it out of context. He's talking about the power of Jesus Christ in your life to change you, to equip you, to make you do all things that God has called you and equipped you to do. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, 13, for I can do what? Everything through Christ. And by the way, it's not in my strength, it's in his strength. And his strength is all powerful. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Jesus Christ himself, when he was teaching, said there is nothing that is impossible for God. So it is literally unlimited strength to do the mighty things that God has called you to do. Do not limit yourself by what other people have said about you to you or they have done and you think, well, I'm following those footsteps. No, you are following in the footsteps of God, your Savior, Jesus Christ, who did it all for you and now has turned you loose. And by the way, this brings us to our last thing. You see, all these things you already have. This last one, you may have, but you may not be living in. And that is, you need your own hero. You need your own hero. Now, as guys, you know that's true. If you had somebody that you could look up to as a kid, you could model yourself after, you're like, oh, man. I've talked to guys that literally we talk about things, and they'll share some stuff from my dad, like, man, I wish I had a dad that would have done that. And so we know we need that. So I just want to be really clear with you. You have a hero ready to step in and do that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and we're going to use the James Moffat translation because I just love the wording he uses here. He says, for a child is born to us. If you're not familiar with this passage, just go pick up, about every fourth Christmas card, and it's on the front, right? For unto us is born a child. A child has been given to us, the royal dignity he wears. And this is the title that he bears, a wonderful counselor, a divine hero, a father for all time, a peaceful prince. Jesus Christ is the supreme hero in all of human history. He did what no one else could do. He sacrificed himself not just for those he loved, but for the entirety of the world, which, by the way, he also loves. He died for not just those that he loved, but for the truth, because the truth will set you free. So he died for those things so that you and I could be free. And then, after dying for all those things, in all of our places, he arose victoriously from the ashes of death, defeating sin and conquering Satan, and now offers salvation and freedom and shared victory to anyone that chooses to follow him. But Jesus isn't just a hero. His victory offers to make you a hero in his footsteps. Because his heroic death perfectly finished the role of hero by confronting, fighting, and vanquishing evil, and not just any evil, but the evil, sin followed by Satan. To achieve this, he, the author of life, descended into the kingdom of death, rescuing the human race from slavery and sin and selfishness. Jesus Christ is history's perfect hero, and he offers all who follow him the ability to become a hero themselves as they place themselves under his rule. He then begins to place his divine qualities, his noble character, his power, and his strength within you to do that which you look at and believe is impossible. His sacrifice, his heroism is what heals us to be able to pursue him. A little bit later in the book of Isaiah, he says this, but because of our sins, he was wounded. Beaten because of the evil we did, we are healed by the punishment that he suffered, and we are made whole by the blows he received. You see, you and I need a hero. And you may have the greatest dad in the world, but he is an imperfect, flawed man. The hero you need to look to is not anyone that's on this earth. The hero you need to look to is Jesus Christ. And when you look to Jesus Christ, you can become the hero that your family needs because you have divine lineage. You have special abilities. You are filled with the noble character of God, and you are empowered to do great things. But activating all these things starts with understanding and embracing and believing that Jesus Christ died for you. It is through him that he gives you hope. It is through him that you are healed. It is through him that you are helped to become all that God has called you to be, because you will never truly be the hero that your family needs unless Jesus is first your hero. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you the opportunity to take that step. And here's what I want to say too. It's not just being a Christian. It's not just saying, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian. No, no, no. It's about truly believing in, putting your faith in, and following Jesus Christ. Because you may be a Christian, but you are not following Jesus Christ. And you need to change. And you need to begin to truly follow in his footsteps. So what I'm going to ask you today is just close your eyes and bow your head. We're going to pray this together. And then we're going to pray for every guy in this room to become the man that God has called them to be. Dear God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the ultimate hero who shows us what all heroes are supposed to be. Someone who is self-sacrificing, someone who loves everyone and loves the truth. One who is filled with the power of God to be able to do special and unique things, of noble character, that even when he was tempted, he did not falter, he did not fail, he did not make the mistake. And God, that Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, offers each and every one of us the opportunity to begin to follow him with everything that we have. So God, I pray today that for anyone and everyone that's here that's not made that step of faith in accepting Jesus Christ, that I pray in this moment, they would pray in their hearts, in their minds, right along with me, dear God, today I choose to believe in Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he paid for my sin. I believe he rose again, conquering the evil of this world and the sin in my heart, and that he offers me forgiveness and hope and healing. And today, I choose Jesus as my Savior, as my hero, as my Lord, as the one I follow. For those of you who are here today, and maybe you've been a Christian for a really long time, maybe the waters and who you're following has got kind of murky, I want to challenge you to just pray something like this along with me. Dear God, I am an imperfect, flawed man, just like my dad, just like his father before him and his father before him. But God, as my heavenly Father, you have given me everything I need to to be the hero my family needs. And so I pray in this moment, in my humbleness before you, you would teach me how to become the hero my family needs. Because you've given me it all. I just need to follow you. Father, I pray in this place there be redemption stories that are beginning to happen. That the past mistakes that we've worn like a cheap suit will be cast aside and we would step into the new nature that we have in Jesus Christ with all the power and the strength and the transformation that's available at the foot of Jesus Christ and the cross and his resurrection and his life. And he offers us that opportunity to step in his footsteps, to step into his shoes, to be the man that you've called us to be the hero our family needs, because our families need it. I pray that we would step into it because somebody's got to do it. Because I'm here because it's the right thing to do. And God, we may never call ourselves a hero, but I pray for every guy in this room, every dude that's got a family right now, that they would live in such a way that those around them would look at him and go, yeah, that guy's my hero. Father, I thank you for it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you prayed with me, I'm going to ask you guys, because I want to pray for you. And I'm committing this week, every single day this week, if you will grab that orange next step card, you just put your name on it. You don't have to say anything else. Just put your name. In fact, you want to put your first name. I'm pretty sure God knows your last name. You just put it on there, and you can drop it in the Giving and Connect boxes as you go out. And I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to pray for you by name every single day this week so that you can step into the shoes that God has for you. And if today you've made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, you mark that on. You say, yeah, today I accepted Jesus Christ. And I will ask you to put your email on there so we can send you a note and just encourage you in the decision that you've made to walk and follow Jesus Christ, your hero. Let's stand and respond this morning.